Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. In show number 974, I began a conversation with you about Christian nationalism. I offered a general definition and explained somewhat of my own understanding of that term and the issue it raises. In show number 975, I discussed the context in which the current debate is framed. Today, I want to dig more deeply into rightly understanding the movement that is being called Christian nationalism and being used by the left to mark Christians for persecution. Yeah, I think that's where this is going. But, of course, I want to speak to the State of the Union, Biden's bloviating Barbara Streisand, BBBS. Buckle up, my friends. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Christian nationalism is likely to be the focus of Biden's campaign. If he doesn't name it openly, it's the underlying issue. It's an attack on Christian patriots. It's an old trick, one used by the Soviets, by the Nazis, by Mao Zedong, by all dictators. It's important to understand what we, as Christian patriots, believe about the role of Christianity in the world, and specifically with reference to politics. But before I offer my third installment in this series on Christian nationalism, I believe it's necessary for me to address Mr. Biden's remarks in his latest SOTUS, State of the Union speech. Here is the full text of that speech. The link is footnoted here in my notes. I'm shocked at how poorly this thing is written. I thought it must be some AI thing, you know, produced by a transcribing software like Otter or TurboScribe or some other like Apple's dictation. I obtained the USA Today posting of this speech, March 7, 2024, which offers the following source statement. Quote, "The White House released the transcript to President Joe Biden's State of the Union address shortly after the speech started on Thursday night. Below is the full transcript of the address," end quote. Now, that surprised me because it's full of errors. I mean, some public educated kid fresh out of high school must have written this thing. I'm literally stunned. It's without any question the most poorly written SOTUS I've ever read. And I mean on the most mundane levels, like grammar and punctuation. It's downright embarrassing. The weird formatting glitches might be ignored, except this came from the White House, folks. You know? Anyway, it happens that the content of the speech does not fare much better. Mike Johnson, our honorable Speaker of the House, remarked, "There was nothing in Biden's speech with which we, Republicans, could agree. It's supposed to be a unifying moment," he said. You know, where the president reaches out to all Americans across the aisle and so on and attempts to, well, unite us. "This speech did not do that," said our speaker. I read the speech and I agree with Speaker Mike Johnson. This was a nasty and divisive tirade aimed at painting more than 75 million Americans. And by the way, painting a military term used for identifying target for an air attack. However, with my tongue tightly jammed into my cheek, he said tongue in cheek, I beg somewhat to differ. At least a few opening remarks should solicit, at the least, a smirking assent. Biden said, "Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault here at home as they are today," end quote. Well, actually, that's the truth. Pelosi, Biden et al. Approved a plan to embed federal agents in a peaceful protest to instigate a riot in order to create the illusion, the impression, that MAGA patriots are violent insurrectionists. Hiding from the American public over 40,000 hours of video from that so-called insurrection, video that would have exonerated 90% of the J-6ers who were unjustly detained and then and then just absolutely outrageously stripped of their rights as Americans, and even their human rights were violated as bearers of the Imago Dei, image of God. I say would have, because now that these videos have been released, many are being exonerated from the evidence that was kept from the court when they were originally tried. Friend, this is outrageous. Everyone involved in this should be in jail. Bogus indictments against Biden's political opponent. Give me a break. Instigated by the Biden administration, by the way. Egregious violations of First, Fourth, and Eighth Amendment rights that are guaranteed by our Constitution and inalienably endowed to us by our Creator. And this done by Biden's so-called Justice Department? Outrageous and unjust rulings from many of our courts. Excessive fines and bail. $450 million for securing a loan on statements for property values that the banks who made the loans accepted. But Biden's Trump-hating friend in New York, Prosecutor Letitia James, one of Biden's buds, who has zero knowledge in real estate values, decided it was inflated and used to secure loans that have been repaid in full. And the banks actually testifying in Trump's defense that they desired to not only do the loan that they offered him then, but to do more business with Trump. It's mind-blowingly outrageous. And that's by design. The prosecutor twisted the language of the law in order to even make a case out of this and to bring Trump to trial on this bogus claim. And then the Trump-hating judge in Goron, and moron, I call stretched a little, used legal device in order to require Trump to pay the fine before he could even appeal the decision. It's just unjust and wrong and unfair and just everything you can think of that's bad. And he was denied to use a bail bond to secure the fine, was denied. This is table-pounding outrage. Listen, we're only getting started here. The list of abuses of judgment and justice and equity, it's literally piling up till we can't even see justice anymore. We've forgotten what it looks like. The whole COVID thing, the universal distribution of mail-in balloting, which the Dems themselves said was bad back in the day. It goes on and on and on, all the way to the FBI targeting people of faith. Did you hear Josh Hawley go after Ray? Way to go, Josh. You should view this. It's linked in my notes. I mean, we have not even talked about the payola Biden received from the Chinese Communist Party and the crude way he bullied Ukraine into protecting his little family business there, his family honeypot in Ukraine. The man is evil. I would say more than Biden. He said, not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault here at home as they are today. End quote. I would say that at no time since Jesus was tried and convicted in a kangaroo Roman court by wicked men of Belial and unjustly nailed to a cross at the cheering of a mob made insane with jealousy, envy, and hatred, has any other man come so close to such an inglorious display of raw human depravity as has been hurled upon President Trump by these wicked and perverse people. In the hands of Biden and his ilk, freedom is soiled, and their beloved democracy has devolved into a tool for oppression and tyranny, where now the democracy they hold so dear is threatened by the Constitution? Excuse me? Well, let me bring you in on a little secret here. Democratic mob rule crucified Jesus. Democracy was despised by our founders for good reason. They knew it always devolves into lawlessness, which always evolves into tyranny. When you hear a Democrat cry about saving democracy, understand what they're trying to save. What you're watching go on in this country right now, that's what they're trying to save. They're in a panic to save the Democratic Party from the justice of law. In the name of democracy, they have destroyed personal freedom and liberty. And they know the Constitution is against them. The mob cannot run over the minority precisely because of the Constitution. And that's why they hate it. We are a republic, friend, not a democracy. A land governed under law whose laws are framed by officers appointed by the people. If there's a weakness, it's in the tendency toward laziness, the disinclination to be vigilant and diligent in watching the elections like a Praetorian guard protecting the sanctity of the ballot box is key and integral to protecting our liberties and our freedoms. We must protect the integrity of our elections because we don't have the government we deserve if we don't have the government we chose. Democrats want to break down every law that's involved in protecting the integrity of our elections because they want mob rule, in which the mob rules without rules, in which the mob is above the rules. They want political mobsters to be able to take over our elections. I say it's past time we bring the mob and their bosses to face the law of justice and judgment. Democracy invariably creates a tiered legal system in which the majority holding power is treated differently. They get a pass on the laws they pass on others. Only in a republic is it possible to provide everyone equal footing before the law. This republic will only survive if the Democrats' vision of democracy fails and we restore the rule of law. So on that one point, I think we would agree with Biden. Our liberty is at peril. It's at peril in their hands. And that's why Biden must be defeated. I'll have to pick up only one more issue with regard to the speech. And I'll address the other stuff on Saturday night during the Brain Massage Live. Catch me on Rumble or Facebook. Biden is a warmongering president. President Trump was the president of peace. We've never had such a season of peace as we had under President Trump. But Biden picked the fight with Putin and purposely triggered him with invitations to Ukraine to join NATO. Biden knew exactly what he was doing. He's such a phony. He's literally called the anti-Reagan president, yet he invokes Reagan in his speech, reminding us of his famous call to Gorbachev. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. He contrasts that to Trump. Now, my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, do whatever the Hades you want. And he characterized this as Trump bowing down to a Russian leader. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that nobody believes we would be bothering with this war between Russia and Ukraine if Trump had been in the presidency. And I'm sure I don't need to remind you that Trump's comment that Biden's picking up on was a warning to NATO that their NATO dues were like way past due. And if you don't pay your dues, then you don't get your due. That's the way it goes. Don't expect America to carry your water in any conflict arising from Russia. You need to pay your fair share. Well, guess what? They stepped up to it and did. It worked. Biden characterizing this as Trump bowing to Russian leaders is standard Democrat device of projection, putting their own stink on someone else, hoping to get the hounds off their tail. You see, it was not a former Republican president who bowed to a Russian leader. It was another former president, only a Democrat, who happened to have been Biden's boss, President Obama. Remember this exchange picked up over a hot mic when Obama was visiting with then-Russian President Medvedev in Moscow. And here's how it went. Obama, on all these issues, note all these issues, but particularly missile defense, this can be solved, but it's important for him to give me space. Medvedev, yeah, I understand. I understand your message about space. Space for you. Obama interjects. This is my last election. After my election, I have more flexibility. Medvedev, I understand. I will transmit this information to Vladimir, as in Putin. It was Biden's former boss, president, alleged one, Obama, who simpered and with syrupy sycophancy leaned into then-Russian President Medvedev, whispering like a snake, after my election, I have more flexibility. And now, many are openly wondering if plans were not being put in place back then for the eventual gifting of Ukraine to Russia. This and other indications suggest this has been a plan for a while, and now it's being suggested that the deals Obama made with Russia directly contributed to Russia being able to invade Ukraine. And then, as we all watched, the Biden administration literally called Putin out on the Ukraine joining NATO thing. Openly calling for the inclusion of Ukraine in NATO, something America specifically promised Russia would never be allowed to happen. So what happened? Well, I speculate that maybe the deal went sour somewhere along the way. Probably it all broke down over who would control the money laundering operation, the lucrative money laundering operation, and the sex trafficking trade that has since flourished under Ukraine's corrupt leadership in partnership with certain corrupt United States politicians like Biden, turning it into a very valuable asset to the corrupt leaders in the United States and making Russia, therefore, a competitor. But anyway, no one should listen to Biden cry about protecting Ukraine without remembering his dirty connections to that country. His hands are filthy in the corruption of Ukraine. I wrote a song a long time when I was a kid. And I played that in the mess hall at Fort Ord Army Base while I was there. It became a favorite among many of my fellow soldiers. It reflects what I think should be the natural aversion every humane person should feel toward war. Keep in mind, I do believe Romans 13 specifically states God's intention that his nation, under him, ordained by God, should use the sword of military might to execute judgment against the Hitlers as they appear in history, and as a defensive war to protect our liberties, as in our war for independence, for example. These are certainly just wars. But the junk that's going on right now is all about greed. I'm going to close the first segment with this. I'm working on having it fully produced, and here's a recording of me singing One Early Morn. One early morn, the sun came winking through my bedroom window, kissed my eyes and woke me up, drew me from my pillow, looked outside and watched the children play outside my window, decided I would take a walk through God's open meadow. Little Johnny is walking slowly and looking to the ground. He's been here for 18 years, Lord, and look at what he's found. Wars, wars everywhere, can't hide anywhere. No matter where you go, hey, it's war, war everywhere. In the day just after yesterday, I heard a preacher say, you've got to change your ways now, world, you've got to go God's way. In the day just before tomorrow, they dressed me all in green. They put a gun in my hand, they call me a war machine. In the hour just before midnight, I saw by the jungle's dim moonlight, a little child kneeling crying, his daddy lay there dying. They dressed me all in green, oh Lord, they call me a war machine. They put a gun in my hand, I said, son, you gotta kill someone. War, war, go away, never come again, I pray. Can't you see we're tired now, and we don't want to kill anyway. War, war, go away, never come again, I pray. Can't you see we're tired now, and we don't want to kill anyway.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I think we will have time to discuss the key issue between Biden and Trump, which, by the way, is Christianity. Yeah, that's the divider. And not just any Christianity. I'm talking about the Christianity that believes our rights come from God, not from the government or any human authority. Remember, I presented this, I think, last week. Heidi Shubaya, a journalist for Politico, explained it this way.
The one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalist is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
Thank you very much, Heidi. You might remember Trump's first campaign and his first term. He regularly invoked God and welcomed people of faith into his circle. Throughout his campaign for re-election, he maintained that same attitude, and I think even went a little farther with it. He demonstrated what I believe was some growth in this area of his life, and even in his manners, I believe, were somewhat affected. Trump acknowledges, as mine have been, by the way, Trump acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord above all the earth, and this country in particular. Remember his first Easter speech? It was absolutely awesome. I played it in our church. I said, listen to that. All you need now is just an invitation to receive Christ as your Savior. Look, no president, not even Reagan, offered so clear a statement concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is the exact opposite of Biden and Obama, by the way. Biden is the Antichrist president, as is or was Obama. Take my drift. He is corrupt, whereas a mafia mob boss testified that after several attempts to corrupt Trump, he was unsuccessful and he gave up. In fact, he advised others who thought to do so, you might as well not try. In fact, he warned them, you might end up getting arrested. He's going to be surrounded by former FBI guys. He said Trump is incorruptible. Now, Trump's base is Christian conservative patriots. Biden's base is compatible with the world and its philosophy, whatever Christians might be in the number. And there are plenty who would call themselves Christians. There are many who are going to say, Lord, Lord, have not we, and so on, who are going to hear him say, I don't know you. It's essentially Baalism. The Christianity that follows Biden, yeah, it would be characterized by Baalism. And that's the belief that everybody's version of God is equally valid. These are the same so-called Christians who reject the Bible as having absolute authority. They chafe at Jesus' statement that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him. They don't like the exclusivity of the gospel. They reject the notion that there's only one way to heaven. They also reject the Bible doctrine of Scripture's inspiration, and they do not believe Christianity should have any role in politics beyond a cautious allowance of Christians to participate, so long as they keep their faith out of the way. You might remember Feinstein's remark to Amy Coney Barrett, cautioning her that her dogma lives loudly within you. Now, we commit her, that is, Lady Feinstein, to her reward. Hopefully, she was prepared to meet her maker. Let's hope that Garvey beats out Shifty Schiff to replace her. Did you see the vote flip Tuesday night? Suddenly, Garvey loses half his votes and Schiff surges to the lead. It's called a glitch switch. Yeah, they have a name for it. We saw it in 2020. I mean, I literally watched that happen. Nobody likes Schiff. But anyway, back to Christian nationalism. Essentially, it is the idea that Christianity should characterize our national identity, as it has since our founding. About half the country wants America to be a secular state. The other half are comfortable with America being called a Christian nation, even if they are not. Even those in that number who would not identify themselves as Christian are not uncomfortable calling the nation Christian or recognizing its Christian background and heritage. So we might say the divide is between those who believe we are and should continue to be a Christian nation and those who believe we should be a secular nation. Because we're talking about politics, we might focus that in a bit more and say, some believe, and it comes down to this, Christians and Christianity should be involved in politics, in the shaping of our laws and policies and so on, and some think they should stay out of politics. The secular humanist is the aggressive militant arm of the secularists who want to push all faith out of politics. And apparently, according to Heidi, any Christian that believes our rights descend from God and not from government or human authority, they are the militant arm of the Christians. Because there are Christians who are, in her mind, the real ones, and then there are these Christians who believe this. Say, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? So anyway, Heidi defines the militant arm, the violent. She even uses this language, that they're violent and stuff like this. She believes that people who believe that our rights come from God are violent. They are militant. They are the militant arm of the Christians. And that's amazing. Heidi and Biden, too, characterize Christians who oppose the government as a threat to their beloved democracy. Segment one of today's show. Now, isn't that interesting? Democracy is the rule of the people, right? Unless the people are Christians? Oh, oops, missed that part. Think about this. Essentially, the idea that we are a Christian nation is at the heart of the issue, the divide in America right now. And this open assault on Christianity began with Obama. It's been going on for a very long time, but I said the open assault, the direct attacks, God and gun clingers, all that, remember? The direct attacks on our Christian identity as a nation broke out into the open when Obama became president. It began during his campaign when he famously said or made that declaration, America is no longer a Christian nation. Now, he followed that with a long and very pregnant pause before he began clarifying, at least not just. And he proceeded from there to say it was a Muslim nation, a Hindu nation, and he went on in that vein. Now, okay, he was talking about the people groups that occupy the nation, perhaps, making an observation regarding the decline of Christian influence, along with tipping his hat to the influence of religious pluralism here. But I am convinced that Obama made this declaration as part of his campaign to transform America. It is his intent that America should not be a Christian nation. He acknowledged that America was a Christian nation, but indicated that it is no longer a Christian nation. And he made this announcement as if it were a positive thing. He does not want America to be connected to her Christian heritage. Now, that's why Merry Christmas began to be discouraged. Yeah, it was during that time. And that holiday in particular was targeted for all kinds of denigration and slight. It really did get so bad that if you said Merry Christmas in town, people would literally glare at you, grumble, and often rebuke you for saying it. It was like a weird spiritual thing going on. Obama literally committed what is tantamount to blasphemy against Christianity in his White House celebration of it. And I can go into the details, but we don't have time. Another clear evidence of the open antipathy of the Obama-Biden administration toward Christianity was their absolute inability to get the declaration statement regarding rights right. They just couldn't do it. Obama got it wrong every single time he referred to it. He never said it right. Biden did the same thing. He got closer to it than ever since Obama came along when in his latest SOTUS speech, he said, the very idea of America, that we are all created equal and deserve to be treated equally throughout our lives, quote unquote, I mean, he really nestled up pretty close to it, didn't he? I remember when he got all flummoxed trying to quote the famous saying and said, I mean, you know the thing. Oh, how charming. Everybody giggled. It happens to be the bedrock of our liberties. And no other religion, not Muslim, not Hindi, not even Judaism, has the equivalent. It's uniquely a Christian perspective. All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. If the left believes this is what defines a Christian nationalist, Heidi and her ilk are all in for a rather big surprise, I believe, at just how many people she just recruited into that political force. And what she revealed is that they believe America is divided over that particular proposition. The core proposition of our founding. I mean, the essential foundation of all our liberties, the bedrock upon which this entire nation was founded. So that's where the battle line has been drawn. So what side are you on? It's a time for choosing. Well, I choose our Christian heritage. I choose to believe our rights come from God and not from man. More on that later. God bless you. I'll see you in church. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and send me an email. You can leave me a message on our listener response hotline. Dial 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And God help us save California. I'll see you in church.
They dressed me all in green, oh Lord. They called me a war machine. They put a gun in my hand and said, son, you gotta kill someone. War, war, go away. Never come again, I pray. Can't you see where